This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Some thoughts now about air travel from the inside and the outside. First, as the flying experience has changed over many decades, so has the manufacturing process for making airplanes. Boeing, one of the largest aircraft manufacturers in the world, a huge exporter of commercial and military jets, is also home to a large union workforce centered in Seattle, where the company started in 1916. That has been changing for years. More and more work contracted out or actually moved to places far from Washington State. And now, after a recent union vote by machinists to reject a new contract offer, Boeing may be threatening to find a place to build the new 777X jet, where unions have less of a foothold. Washington State workers claim they have the most experience in aviation, and the state just approved $8.7 billion in tax incentives. But as aviation industry analyst Scott Hamilton explains, the outside offers are numerous and tempting.
Boeing is talking about outsourcing it from Washington, if you wanted to describe it that way. But they're also talking about putting it at other Boeing facilities in other states. Boeing really has been at war with its unions, the IAM, which does the touch labor, and SPIA, the engineers union, which does all the engineering. They've been at war with those two unions for a number of years now. Boeing has been moving work out of the state of Washington, some work overseas. That's your true outsourcing. Some work to other Boeing facilities, both in right-to-work states and in California, which, of course, is not a right-to-work state, but down in California, it's a different union altogether.
I'm wondering if part of what's driving this is the fact that Seattle has become a high-tech center independent of the aviation industry, with Microsoft there, with Amazon there, with so much of the tech and computer industry based there, and a hugely competent workforce working in that field, but largely non-union. Does that make the point that you don't have to be unionized to function in the tech space, and that Microsoft's success is motivating Boeing as well?
When Boeing put the second 787 line down in South Carolina, there were some special circumstances involved in that. Boeing had to buy those facilities from Vought and Global Aeronautica, which was a joint venture between Vought and an Italian company. The work was going so poorly by Vought and Global Aeronautica that Boeing bought that facility, and now they owned it and decided to put the second line down there simply because they had come off of a strike with the IAM that lasted 57 days in 2008, and they were just tired of having these production interruptions. So I don't think that the Microsoft type of connection is really what's driving this. They're tired of dealing with the IAM. They're tired of having the potential of strikes at the end of every contract, and they just want to diversify from this strong union up here.
Looking from the union point of view, does the union have a point, have an argument? We have the clout to call the shots here, and you can't build this plane without us?
Well, that's what the union likes to say. The union does actually have a point that they, of course, are the experienced workforce. They know what they're doing. They point to the continuing problems down at Charleston. And, of course, that plant has been in operation for 8 years now. It's only been delivering airplanes for the past year. But quite frankly, Boeing Chicago, the headquarters in Chicago, has more leverage than the union does. The union has leverage in being able to strike at the end of any contract, and if you don't reach an agreement. But that's why Boeing is wanting to open up other facilities and move work out of the state of Washington.
Scott Hamilton is an aviation industry analyst based in Washington State. Scott Hamilton, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.